If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, let the game begin. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel.
Right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. You're home for the Wall of Lies.
Yeah.
This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
come together once a week over a single topic, and from said topic, we come up with a million ways to make you a millionaire.
Yeah.
We take the topic, we mull it over, we swallow it and digest it, and poop it out in our diapers. Change our diapers, scrape through the poop, pull out what we've come up with. It's like argan oil. It's like that civet coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We digest it. It comes out in our poop, and it comes out 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
Worth so much more than when it went in. And we give you those ideas, guys. We give them to you. We're not like these scumbag shysters on YouTube who are trying to suck you in with these kind of one-size-fits-all money-making ideas. What? Put away 10% of all the money you make. Why would you want to do that? Save money. Who needs to save money to make money? That's ridiculous. We say throw it all down a pipe dream. And when it hits the bottom, it explodes, and you're rich. We don't ask for any money up front for that.
No. Surprisingly.
We put it out there. You guys take it. You action it. I love saying action. It's the only time I ever say action. Where was I?
I don't know. I don't know.
My brain's really skipping beats these days.
I get it.
We action it. You action it. You get rich. And then you look back at the people who helped you out along the way. And you realize that two of those people were particularly instrumental in your success. That are Josh and Noel. And what do we ask of you then, Noel?
Yeah, you look back and you say, yeah, what about Josh and Noel, the guys who gave me a million ideas to become a millionaire? And by that, I don't mean $1 per idea and I had to do all million ideas. No, any one of the million ideas would make me a millionaire. And I only picked one and I became a billionaire. And what do I owe them? I owe them 10% of everything I made when I got rich. I to tithe them. That's the deal, mofloes.
Let me think, Noel. We've done 200 and this will be 263 shows.
Maybe?
Huh?
Maybe 63. Maybe 263.
So like 5 years, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Almost
over.
Almost one show a week.
Yeah.
3 to 4 ideas per show.
Yeah.
Dude, we've got well over a million ideas out there.
I think that's the math. The math adds up. That's solid math. Yeah. Science, moflows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jerkensteins. That's
right. Are you calling our listening base the people who support us emotionally, because certainly not financially? are you calling them Jerkensteins?
I'm negging them, dude. I'm bringing them in.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Make them don't think you want them, and they come.
I feel like my doctor was negging me today.
Oh, really?
Not today, the other day when I went and saw him.
Okay.
He was feeling me up, and I kept asking him. He had his finger up my ass, and I was like, what do you think of that asshole?
You didn't say that, did you?
And he didn't say a word to me.
Yeah, I guess.
And then I got very upset about that, and then he was like cupping my balls.
Uh-huh.
And I said, how about those nuts?
You did not
say anything. And he didn't say anything, and I got very self-conscious.
Uh-huh.
It made me really want to not leave his office.
Okay.
Let him poke and prod me even more.
All right.
No, that didn't happen. I will tell you something strange I did, though. I thought this was really weird after I did it. I didn't even think about it.
Okay.
But so he did a process. I just turned 51, and I went and got a physical, and it was about time that I had the prostate checked.
Sure.
And, you know, he stuck the finger up there, and, you know, it's not pleasurable, even if you're someone who enjoys prostate play or any of that.
It's not a doctor procedure.
It's a procedure.
Yeah.
And he went in there, and I immediately felt like I had to pee and shit at the same time.
Okay.
And my junk just shrunk up and literally went inside me.
Okay. So I guess you know which one's coming first, and nothing, no choice but poo.
And I stood up, and I just sort of, without thinking, instinctually, instinctively, grabbed my dick and just pulled it to stretch it out. And after I did it, I was like, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was awkward. I just tugged on my dick in front of a doctor.
I'm sure doctors have seen. I can't even imagine what some of the strange responses they get. I'm sure they get a lot of like what she's like, whoa, dude. But I'm sure they get so many weird responses of every flavor. He probably
especially doctors who do that kind of stuff, exactly. who are doing that kind of stuff. But it just struck me as like, why did I do that? That just was really awkward to me after the fact.
Uh-huh.
You know, I always wonder how like gynecologists can still be turned on by, you know, seeing vaginas. Just a thought.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, you're just staring at them all day. You have to be super professional, so you sort of have to turn off a part of your brain. You know, sometimes you're seeing some that are in bad shape, you know, diseased, torn up in some fashion. It's got to be hard to turn on the sensual sexual mode when you're dealing with someone that you want to do the deed with.
Maybe. I bet you people that work at McDonald's, they'll still enjoy a nice, fine steak.
That makes no correlation to me whatsoever.
Perfect analogy. I am the analogy king.
Sometimes you are such a strange man.
Why?
Says the guy who tugged on his dick in front of his doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, Noel, that had nothing to do with today's topic.
It did not.
Or maybe it did.
Or maybe it did.
Foreshadowing.
Unless you already know.
Anyway, how have you been, dude?
I have been good. I am still at this other apartment we're staying while construction's being done in our place. It looks like maybe you may be a little more on the right end of it taking longer than I thought than I was.
You are so relentlessly positive sometimes that you don't. You just want it to be when you, because you want it to be something, it's going to be that
okay,
way.
So here's the thing about in this case. In my opinion, most construction and contractors, they're playing some sort of flim-flam game, right? And I figured.
I'm just curious, before you go on,
your
opinion is based on what?
On knowledge.
On what knowledge?
Just knowing the world.
Uh-huh, okay.
Put my ear to the train tracks and listen for it coming, right?
So most contractors are flim-flam artists.
They're playing a flim-flam game, right? Either they're bid low and go through high, or they're messing with the times. They all go late. But I figured, seeing as we got the inside track on this person, and it's pretty much a coworker of my wonderful partner, I thought, watch, because there's no flim-flam game to play, we're going to come in under what they're saying for time, right? It's not going to be one of these ones where like, oh my God, they're still there. It'll be the opposite because they'll cut out the flim-flam. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not so much of a flim-flam.
Or maybe because, you know, they're not really work friends. Your partner is responsible for hiring them.
Yeah.
They essentially work for her.
Yes.
as a contractor, right?
Yeah.
That if they blow through this and show that all this other stuff they do is flim-flam, she's going to be pissed at them.
Oh, this is going to go like 2 years then.
Yeah, exactly. 6 months later.
Yeah, go see the doctor.
Uh-huh.
But so anyway, it is coming along. It's just, you know, we're still here. It's not going to be finished next week,
no.
We've been told. So, but she told him it can't go longer than the week after that. It cannot, or uh-huh. we're going to have to be staying in their basement.
Do you lose the place you're in now if it goes past that? Like, is there no way for you to stay there any longer?
They want
to
get stuff done in this apartment before they come back. So they want to get it painted. We also, you know, you have to go through the building, get approved to do stuff, and you wait in line for a slot, and there's other people waiting behind you, and you don't have forever to get it done. Right now, because of COVID, there's only one, I think they just upped it to possibly two, but it's a very limited amount of work being allowed to be done at a time in the building. So we can't just like sit on it until everyone's good and ready to move on. We got to get them out of there so that other people can do the stuff that they've been waiting months to do.
Right, I understand, but you know, you are limited to a certain degree by what's getting done, you know what I mean?
I know, but they're going to start complaining if it doesn't.
Yeah, well, and you can just stand up and say, "You know what? I'm a member of the board. Go fuck yourself."
I am. That's what I'll say. I'll say, "Listen, mofos.
If you don't like it, join the board like me."
Yeah.
And we'll just move your shit ahead of everyone else's like I did.
No. That actually isn't what happened.
Sure it isn't. I understand. We're on public airwaves. You don't want your people to know, but
well,
between
so
you and me.
That may have been what made them really pay attention to what I was saying.
Oh.
But we had changed managers of our building that get hired. And they didn't realize, because they kept telling us, like, there's been people waiting since blah, blah, blah. And we're like, we've been waiting longer. And I don't think they listened to us saying we've been waiting longer until I joined the board. But we have, in fact, been waiting longer than all these other people that they were putting us behind. Because when it changed over, they didn't realize that we had already been submitted and approved and everything and ready to go. Whether or not, that's what the story is. I got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, I'll just walk around hating everyone.
And the problem with that is what exactly?
I already have enough hate in my heart. I don't know if you noticed this. There's an election next week. I've filled with hate. You know, here's the thing about this show, guys, is this is not going to be probably as evergreen as we'd want because we are recording. It's going to air on Radio Free Brooklyn Saturday night, the Saturday before the election. It gets released onto the internet for people to download, which probably more people listen to our show that way. And that won't happen until after the election. So the time between this airs and probably a large portion of the people listen to it, who knows what the world's going to be like?
Yeah, well, we're going to record two alternate endings One is going to be us just jumping up and down cheering and giving big sighs of relief.
Yeah.
And the other is going to be me committing suicide on air.
Yeah. I did, though. So one thing I did this week is I went and I voted on Saturday. I had to vote in Madison Square Garden. Went down.
Why did you have to? We went to St. Anthony's of Padua on.
I don't know how they figured it. But you know what? I did see a thing today that said how many voters were assigned to each location. It wasn't that much more assigned to Madison Square Garden than St. Anthony's.
Mick O'Brien had to vote it at MSG. I'm surprised you didn't see him there.
I didn't. I did see one person. I saw one of my neighbors there. But it was, you can't imagine these. So there were two lines, which I didn't realize. When I walked up there, it was very disorganized. It was the first day. I'm guessing it's more organized by now. And I just see a line coming up 7th away from the Madison Square Garden. So I'm like, all right, I don't have to go to the front of the line to see where this line's going, right? So I just start following the line back. So the line went from Madison Square Garden, right? So whatever that is technically, it's like the entrance is probably 32nd and 7th. Mm-hmm. The line went up 7th to 34th. Then it went down 34th to 8th. Then it went down 8th to 33rd. Then it went down 33rd, and it went into like some construction thing going back to 7th. And I was like, where does this even go? I can't even see the end of this line. And I looked across the street, and there was a different line, and I could see the end of that line. So I'm like, I don't know what's what, but I see an end of a line. I'm getting in that line. Because it's either not the same line as this, and I can't believe it's as long as this one I just walked past, mm-hmm. or it's the end of this line anyway. And I was in there for a while not knowing if this line went down and around and over to 7th and back over to and joined this line. But it ended up, it was a separate line. It took me 3.5 hours to get through. And the two lines basically meet up at the end. And I heard someone complaining from the other line that their line was 1.5 hours longer than my line. Which the person was just like, okay. Like, they can't do anything about it.
Nope.
So there were a lot of people, and it's been more every day since.
Yeah, we went on Tuesday. And the line for St. Anthony, so the entrance was on Sullivan between Houston and Spring or Prince. And it went around the block. So it went to Prince, then around the block to Thompson,
mm-hmm.
then back on to Houston, then Houston to 6th Avenue, which is two blocks, then up 6th to Spring, mm-hmm. and then around the corner of Spring. And when we got on the line, we were at Spring and Thompson.
Okay.
Or Spring and Sullivan. Sorry, Spring and Sullivan. So it was about, 7-8 blocks.
Yeah.
When we got online, they were telling us it would be 3 to 4 hours wait because that's what they had been experiencing at that point. But we got there in like 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Boom.
Was a total shit show, though.
Yeah.
I mean, not in terms of.
Well, I don't think they were prepared for
anything
this.
Other than sort of weirdly, poorly organized.
Yeah.
Especially when we got inside. There was one woman who was a poll worker who I think was having a panic attack or something.
Oh.
Or may have been on the spectrum. She was just sitting in a chair and sort of like,
Do it, say it with your words.
Huh?
Say it with your words. We're on video.
I'm trying to think. She's like, I want to say davening, like Jewish prayer.
Okay.
But I don't know if people will get that. But she was just sort of going, leaning back and forth and back and
rocking.
Forth and back and forth. Like she was just so overwhelmed by the humanity.
Ugh.
It was weird. But, it was what it was.
Yeah. And most of the people were in really good spirits in my line.
Yeah, everyone was fine in our line. There was no one. They definitely had a whole thing where if you were of a certain age or standing was difficult for you, you got cut to the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have people, and it's like if it's too much time for you, get out of fucking line and wait till the third when there'll be more polling places.
Yeah, I'm really interested to find out how long the wait is for people on election day.
I don't think it's going to be that bad.
I'm guessing too, but you never know. Maybe just so many more people are voting. I don't know.
Maybe. I just think, there's literally for early voting, how many polling places are there in just say Manhattan?
It's not that many. It's like 12 or something like that.
Yeah. And normally there's probably three times that or four, if not more than that.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So even if there's more, and then you have hundreds of thousands of people voting early, hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
I
read something today that was up through yesterday. So this is Thursday we're recording this on. So up through Wednesday, I think it was 600,000.
Yeah. I just think that, I'm not going to say it's going to be a breeze to get in, but I do think that it's going to be a substantially shorter wait than what we're currently experiencing doing the early voting.
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, my poll is only a couple blocks away from where I live, so I'll walk by it on Tuesday and find out.
Let me know, yo. Ugh. Yeah. I don't know if you're experiencing as much stress about all of it as me, but I am. Trying not to dwell on it too much because we got to stay positive. Work's been crushing me this work. It's really busy.
I don't know what you're like. You have so many options should this go completely south.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I want to use them.
I understand, but I have no options. Like, I can't move to Canada. Mm-hmm. I can't move to Ireland. I can't move to Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm fucking stuck here. And, you know, knock on wood, I'm stuck in New York.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I can't deal with this shit.
Yeah, I know.
I mean...
It looks good, though. It looks good. We shouldn't dwell too much on what we think is going to happen, because by the time a lot of people hear it, it will have already happened.
You're right. It will have happened. Anyway, so I don't know if this conversation had anything to do with today's topic other than me tugging on my dick, but today's topic is, Noel.
Today's topic is elections.
Elections.
Pull the lever. How to get rich with them, how to vote elections. Your way to the top of financial freedom.
Election.
Yeah.
I thought it was erections. I have like 30 minutes of stuff on erections.
Oh, so do I.
Oh, fuck. This is going to be worse than that last one.
Uh-huh.
Where it was despair and desperation. I'm kidding. I knew it was elections.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Noel,
anyway.
We're halfway through the show.
Are we?
So we might as well get started. How are you going to get rich off of elections?
I'll tell you. So as I've stated, we don't know what's going to happen. And we don't know by the time this hits the internet, not by the time it airs, but by the time it hits the internet, whatever has happened is going to happen, will have happened. So I have two schemes tonight. One is going to be assuming Trump wins. One is going to be assuming Biden wins. So we're going to start with the shit sandwich first, which is
the Biden win.
Trump wins.
Oh, sorry. You don't really don't like people knowing you're a Trumper, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh man. I am married to an Ecuadoriana. I would be so on the street if I ever decided to like Trump. I would be out on the street.
I know a woman who's a current citizen that came over here illegally and has her own business here now, and she's a Trump supporter.
It baffles me.
Boggles my mind. Yeah. And she's gay. I forgot that.
So she just likes to be contrary.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're going to go with the shit sandwich. Trump won. How are you going to make money with elections, right? The big fear with his rising totalitarian everything is that if Trump wins, this may be the last election, right? He's got everyone out there at his frickin' rallies chanting 12 more years. He's made numerous statements about his lack of respect for elections, and he certainly doesn't have any respect for people that don't vote for him, and he embraces strong men around the world that basically, you know, aren't in there fairly. So he would love it to get rid of the elections, get rid of the process. In his mind, it would be training the swamp, right? So we have to look at the future of elections in that light, right? And everything else bad that he's raining down in society, right? Racism. We're basically turning into, what's that movie?
Idiocracy?
Yes. Idiocracy, right?
Yeah, the comparison to Idiocracy, I think, is reasonable. But the thing about Idiocracy is racism wasn't a thing in
it
Idiocracy.
Wasn't. No. But this is Idiocracy with racism. Even worse, right?
It's extra Idiocracy.
Yeah. So I was thinking about it, and how are you going to make money off an election when this may be the last election? Well, because they're going to have to replace it with something, right? They can't just say no more elections, or people might be like, what? I just kind of remember that we're supposed to have a say in this, right? You got to do something to pacify people while still subjugating them, right? And I thought back to something that we discussed in our very early days in our Christmas episode. And it was about how Christmas and a lot of holidays like that, when they wanted to usurp pagan populations, they would put the Christian holidays on the pagan holidays, and they would take some of the, you know, like the Christmas tree. That was a pagan symbol, right? The Yule log, pagan. A lot of that stuff, right? So that is what is going to happen, right? So what do you get when you mix that in with the racist Idiocracy factor as well? How can you do it? What can you replace elections with? Well, you can have something that's stupid, that's juvenile, that's racist, all at once, as you alluded to in your joke up front. Instead of having your national elections every 4 years, it can be your national erection, and it's racist and it's juvenile. It alludes to erections. It also makes fun of Chinese people or Asian people's accents.
Wow, you went there, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it's the national erection, and everyone's going to wear, you're going to sell blue or red, you know, like straw hats, rice paddy hats. It's going to be racist, and people are going to still vote blue or red, right? But what are you going to do with that blue or red? It's not going to elect a leader because Trump's not stepping down, right? It's going to be for their animals, right? You've got the Republican elephant. You've got the Democratic donkey, right? And whatever animal wins, they're going to put in a ring. And Trump's going to be in that same ring with like some goggles on and maybe some other protective gear. And they're going to blow that animal up right in front of them, and it's going to get on Trump, and he's going to be like, you guys got me. Now back to being subjugated. So they're going to blow up an animal in a giant ring. It's going to be like a dunk tank, but Trump's going to get animal guts all over him. It's going to be racist. It's going to be juvenile. It's going to allude to erections, racism. It's going to capture all of it in one. Still, people will be like, I remember that's what it was, only this is more fun. And everyone's going to get drunk. It'll just be a bacchanalia. And there will be no change of power with it. So, you know, it's going to be privately run because everything is going to be. And you got to get on the ground floor and you got to propose it. If Trump wins, you go in day one of his second term and you say, hey, I got a deal to sell you. And you put together this package and you say, we're going to do it. That's it.
All right.
It's not a rosy future.
No,
I'm not saying it's great.
I'm not even sure what it is.
What do you mean?
It's, it sounds like a nightmare.
It is. It's a natural erection.
Just stop saying it.
Why?
Just stop saying it.
What do you mean? Natural erection.
Stop saying it.
Presidential erection. How about that?
Oh, there we go, guys.
There you
blown
go.
Up animals
yeah.
all over the president.
In a racist way.
I guess I just don't get the point of why does he have to have the guts all over him?
Because there's got to be some, you know, he can't lose the election. So there's got to be something that might get him like, ah, you guys got me.
I don't
but
know.
I'm still
I don't
in
think,
power.
I don't think he would go for that, number one.
Well, or something then. You can change that. Maybe he wrestles a donkey. I don't know.
Okay, he wrestles a donkey. I like that. I like the idea of Trump wrestling a donkey.
Yeah. Or one of the animals has to live on the lawn of the White House for the next 4 years.
Oh, there you go. That works.
Yeah. Blowing up stuff would be more appropriate, though.
Some degree.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was an idea, guys.
That was a great idea.
You know, you better hope Trump wins if you're going to go with that idea. I'm just saying, if you're putting it out there for people to get rich with,
yeah,
the guys that are going to go for that one had better hope Trump wins.
Well, they can wait until after the election to decide which of my schemes they're going to go with.
All right.
And
I'm
either
just,
way, I'm making
not,
them rich.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying.
Okay.
You know, although for people who like that idea, you may now sway them to vote for Trump. I hope that you...
Everyone's already voted.
I hope that you feel good about that.
Everyone's already voted.
I hope that you feel
in
good about that is all
wink,
I'm going to say.
Wink, wink.
How
many
so
times have
I,
you mail voted so
what?
Far? How many times have you mail voted so far this year?
Mail voted this yeah. year? Oh, like 40.
Yeah. I did it till my hands hurt, and then I switched with the other hand. So it looked like someone else was voting. ran out of ink.
Anyway, no, my ideas are lean a little more towards how you can make money off of elections forever.
Okay.
Not necessarily just this one election.
Oh, no. These are what elections will be forever after this if Trump wins.
Okay. I was reading that the total cost of all of the elections this year, all federal elections, is going to surpass $14 billion.
Whoa.
Which is twice the amount spent to influence the election cycle from just 4 years ago. And that's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A big chunk of that money is dark money.
Yep.
And do you know what dark money is, Noel?
I do. We talked about it when we had our politics episode.
That's right. Oh, well. Well, maybe it's a similar idea. I don't remember.
Maybe
I didn't
not.
Even remember
maybe
that. We
maybe it just has to do with the same thing.
It may. It may not. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. So for those of you that don't remember, dark money refers to any political spending by nonprofit organizations. Mm-hmm. For example, all 501c corporations.
Yeah.
Not unlike our own
Radio Free Brooklyn. Yeah.
Which may very well be a dark money funnel to some lefty who's out there trying to make the world a socialist regime.
That'd give us more cred.
That would give us a lot more cred. But the beauty of these is that they are not required to disclose their donors. And I was looking at the spending by these organizations, these dark money organizations, in 2006, when it really started to come up, $5.2 million was spent in the presidential election, or in your, as you would say, presidential erection.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in the future.
Sorry, not 2006 in the presidential. Just it started federal spending started in the 2006 election cycle. As of now in 2020, over $500 million was spent in dark money. That's a lot of fucking money, guys. Mm-hmm. $500 million is spent a lot of money. The beauty of these designated 501Cs, and particularly the 501C4, which is what all these dark money groups go under, is that they are A, allowed to lobby public officials regarding their concerns and to participate in political campaigning, and they do not have to let you know who their donors are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super simple, guys. You're going to start a 501C4. You're going to hit people up for money to support whichever horrible candidate that you want to support. It really doesn't matter. You're going to take scads and scads of money from people, big money from big donors, millions and millions of dollars. You're going to pay yourself 50% of everything you take in. The other 50% is just going to be ad buys and ad buys and ad buys. And you're going to make like shitty YouTube video level stuff on your cell phone, and you're going to plop it. You're going to buy it on the popular influencers. You're going to buy TV ads with it. It's going to cost you hardly anything, and the rest of the money is going to go right in your pocket. And we're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars over the rest of your life. So there you go.
There you go.
Straightforward and simple.
Yeah. A lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're cynical.
No, not that we feel beaten down.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
Hey, if you want to donate to Radio Free Brooklyn and maybe give them enough money for them to get their other C so they can be a 501C4 instead of the 501C3 that they are today, you can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, just go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, hit the sponsor link. All that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. Maybe they'll raise enough money to give us a button back so we can get money. But for now, you just got to give them money. You get a tax break because they're a 501c3 charitable organization. You get to know that you're supporting the arts and community radio and projects they're doing like the Wall of Lies. If you guys remember, we talked about last week, they had a Wall of Lies that's all 20,000 or whatever it is odd lies that was published in a database by the Washington Post. And they took it and made a giant mural and put it in Brooklyn, where it got defaced by possibly Proud Boys, or possibly, who knows, but it was defaced with hate speech. They went out, raised more money, and made it double the size. It's now at Grand and Lafayette in Manhattan. It's 100 feet long now, 10 feet high, 100 feet long, 20,000 lies. You can go down, take a look. It's pretty cool. It's getting actually quite a bit of press. And it's great. You guys go check it out, yo.
It'll be up until, I believe they said, the election is finalized.
Yes.
So it'll be up until, so, you know, if the election is finalized on November 3rd, which is highly doubtful, then it's coming down. But if it's not finalized till 2 weeks after, or a month after, or 6 weeks after,
stays up.
Once we know who our president elect is, then the Wall of Lies comes down.
Yep.
I feel, though, if it remains Trump, it should stay up.
Yeah, it should. Maybe it will. Who knows? It was made by Phil Bueller, who is the husband of Dr. Lisa, of Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, one of our shows on Radio Free Brooklyn. And it's great. It's actually, you look at it and you're just like, you get all fired up. You want to go vote again. And so you have to say, where's the nearest post office? I gotta vote a few thousand times to get this off my chest. If you want to support us in other ways, you can download the app, iOS or Android. You can listen to the station live, or you can get all the archives of all the shows. You can subscribe to the newsletter, Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm still going to call it that. or, you know, on Amazon, you can go to Amazon Smile, which Amazon will pitch in a small little piece whenever you buy things from Amazon towards a charity of your choice, and you can choose Radio Free Brooklyn as that charity, and you get to feel like a champ. It's cool cred, guys. Do it. Right? Election's almost over. You got to donate to somebody. You don't have your candidate of choice to donate to anymore. And by this point, we've been slamming Trump for so long that I'm assuming, if you still listen, your candidate of choice is Biden. you're not voting for Trump. And if you are, you just love punishment because we just rag on that prick constantly.
Unless you listen to us because you love the sweet, salty taste of SJW tears.
Maybe. That might be it. Maybe that's where that. Maybe that's the angle we're going to have to go for if he wins. Is just like we cry every week and conservatives come on and laugh at us.
We're like the clowns at that get shot with paintballs at what do you call it at state fairs and shit like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah. The
people
geek.
Laugh at us as we're getting pegged.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, that'll be us.
That's our angle. Biden, that's a good angle.
And his thanks for letting us shill our shills. Every week we have a topic. This week is elections. And from that topic, we use so many ways to get so rich. Not enough. Josh is like, not enough. So he goes out and he finds things while I sit on the couch eating bonbons. And he finds another way if you get even more rich. So, Mr. Josh, please take it away.
Get rich quick. Tip of the week. Brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
If your passion doesn't solve a major problem for people or businesses, you're not going to get paid a lot of money. That's just a fact. Let's say you have a skill set. You're good at flipping burgers. That's fine. It is a skill set, but it is not a high income skill and it will never be a high income skill because it is such a common skill. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to learn. It doesn't take a whole lot to learn how to flip a burger. That's why people who flip burgers get minimum wage. Now, you could be very passionate about flipping burgers. You could love it, enthusiastic about it, but it will never become a high income skill. The marketplace pays for value and what determines your value is your skill set. And the most valuable skill set, in my opinion, is skill set that makes companies money. Marketplace doesn't care about your passion. It doesn't give a damn about your needs. The marketplace only care about its needs.
There you go, guys. What you want to do means nothing.
Yeah.
Just do whatever it is that you're doing so you can make money according to
throw
the market.
Away your dreams, your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, this is what we've been saying all along. But at least with us, we're trying to get people rich so quick that they're only throwing them away for a week, a month. And then they're back to, I'm just going to build the biggest train set ever, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, guys. As advertised, elections. This time, we're going to assume Biden wins, right? Woohoo! So, really, when you say how you're going to get rich with elections if Biden wins, you just means elections keep going on the way they do. You just mean the elections continue in their current fashion. And if this year has taught us anything, people are getting jazzed by voting. In New York City, they are getting jazzed by voting early, and that often means long lines. Right now, it means long lines that are socially distanced, hopefully, because of COVID. It might mean long lines in the rain and the cold, right? So what are we going to do? I saw when I was in line, there was a guy walking around, and he had a giant glass dome over his head with like motors on it that were filtering the air in and out. And I was like,
amazing. I want one of those.
It was great. It actually looked great. It probably wouldn't be good for running or something like that, but it looked great. So I was like, yeah, well, that's a good idea. But what about more, right? There were also a lot of like people who brought chairs and were sitting in chairs. So what if you made something that you could just rent to people while they're in line? And I'm going to call it a Vote Dan. It's like a sedan, but for voting. And it's going to be basically a small glass room on wheels that they can, or plastic probably, that they can move forward. They'll have a seat in there, something to watch. some sort of climate control to keep the rain off, the cold out, and make their stay a little more enjoyable. If you want, you can have walkie-talkies connecting the different ones to each other so they can still talk and feel like they're part of the crowd without really being part of the crowd. If we're interested in getting more of the youngsters voting, right, you can make sure there's a video console in there so that they can play video games in line and make it highly Instagrammable. But you're not going to sell these because no one's going to buy it to vote when how often you vote. You're going to rent them. And that's where it is. It's basically inspired by the giant business that seems to come from pennies to me, but it must be a giant business of the valets at airports. At every airport, there's a valet service, and you can pay someone to take your suitcase out of your car and put it on a cart, basically. And then you walk around with a cart. But they're so everywhere that they must actually be big business. This was inspired by that. You're going to charge a lot more than that. But that's what you're going to do.
All right.
I think it's good
money.
There
you go, guys. The Vote Dan. See, that idea makes me think that maybe there should be mobile voting sites that are like ice cream trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull up to different neighborhoods, and then they play their voting music, whatever that is.
That'd be great. If the vote came to you, that'd be great.
And, you know, they go every couple of blocks, and then, like, they pull up and, like, dee 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 dee, and everyone knows the voting song. And they all come running out to vote and, you know, sits there for an hour or so, dee 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 dee, and then drives a couple of three blocks more and then does it again.
That'd be great.
Little mobile voting vans. Anyway, Noel, did you know that maybe the most or the best predictor for the election since 1928 has been the S&P 500?
Okay.
The S&P 500 has correctly predicted the winner 80% of the time. That means there have only been three elections that the S&P 500 did not predict. And do you know what that prediction is based on? Basically.
Okay.
When the S&P 500 has been higher the 3 months before the election, the incumbent party has won.
Okay.
And when the stocks were lower, the incumbent party lost, except for three times. You're like, well, what the fuck am I going to do with that information? Well, this is the deal. While you can't bet on politics here in the United States, you can around the world. And in this year so far, just on the presidential race, in the UK, £175 million, and that means you're talking over $225 million, has been bet on this election so far, on just the presidential election, which is an enormous amount of money. Interestingly, the further back Trump falls behind in the polls, the more people in the UK vote for bet on him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's currently a plus 200 underdog, which means that, like, for every dollar you bet, you're going to get, or every pound you bet, you're going to get 200 pounds.
Wow.
And maybe people are just betting the long shot.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, they're throwing 20 pounds down, because why not? But my feeling is there are a couple ways to do this. One is the way that if you have a lot of money, you can do it, and that's manipulating the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically buying up tons of stocks and then dumping the shit out of them in the 3 months before, driving the S&P 500 down, falling below 3%, and then betting heavily ahead of time on the not incumbent
mm-hmm.
party the challenging party. Or just having this information and 3 months before the election, take a look at the S&P 500 and bet. You know, the big bets don't start rolling in till, you know, a couple months before. So you're still going to get good odds on whoever the candidates are and just bet heavy, you know, and you'll end up really rich. Yeah. I mean, the manipulating one is seems more like a guarantee. But that's just me. What the fuck do I know?
I read, I think it was today, that this election is the most bet on event in history.
Overall event?
Yeah, I think they meant sports, anything. It's the most bet on anything so in history.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It better, you know, you guys, it'll be fun to tune in next week and see what our reactions. How long do you think it's going to take to get settled?
I don't know, man. You know, I have no idea. I certainly think that so many, I mean, unless by like late on the night of the 3rd, with all the early voting and everything, that it's starting to look like a real blowout.
Mm-hmm.
No one is going to call it. I mean, I've heard many places say they're not going to call it till like 99.5% of all the votes have been counted.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I imagine that will take weeks.
Yeah. It's got to be an insane blowout, I think, for it to come out on the day, because a lot of states don't even look at vote by mail until the day after the election. Mm-hmm. New York State being one of them. That's one reason I will never vote by mail here, is because if it is a blowout, or if the election gets, you know, settled, your vote actually may never get counted. It's not a guarantee that your vote gets counted.
Well, it's not a guarantee your vote gets counted at this point if it doesn't come in by the 3rd. If they don't get it by election day.
Oh, no. In New York, you've got, I forget what it was. The New York Times had an article about what all the laws are in every state. And New York, it needs to be post-dated by election day.
Yeah, that's, but I mean, that's, you know, who just lost that, I can't remember
Wisconsin.
Who it was. I think
Wisconsin.
It was Michigan, but I guess
it
because they altered it from their normal state because of COVID.
Yeah.
And they were told they weren't allowed to do it.
But a lot of other states have done that. You know, and I don't know what these courts are doing, because then a day later or a couple days later, they told Pennsylvania they can do it. So Pennsylvania will still allow that.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, the dissent, as I understood it, had to do with how the states went about changing the rules of their elections.
Mm-hmm.
Due to COVID. And I think Pennsylvania was close enough for something to their actual election to they didn't alter it so much, or they didn't take it too far away from the letter of their initial law.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it. I mean, I thought what was interesting is that Justice Kavanaugh rammed through crying Kavanaugh, speaking of the salty tears of a social justice warrior.
Yeah.
Had like incorrect information.
Yeah.
In his dissent.
Yeah.
I mean,
he compared it to some ruler in Vermont or something like that, and he was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems like, you know, got to do better research, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. How is there a way to get rid of a Supreme Court justice?
I think they can actually be impeached.
Can they be?
Yeah,
All right.
I think that's actually a thing.
Let's
I don't
take
know
this
it's
election,
ever been
dude,
done,
and let's
but.
Start cleaning house. Oh, boy. Hey, you know what, guys? Do you want to reach out to Josh? You want to reach out to me? Do you want to reach out to Josh and me? You can. You can get us on Twitter at GRQJoshNoel.
You can email us at GRQWithJoshAndNoel@gmail.com.
Get us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GRQJoshNoel. You can go on iTunes or anywhere where you can get a podcast nowadays, which is everywhere. You can get them from corner stores pretty much. And you can subscribe, you can rate, you can review. Come on, ding dongs. Why have you not by this point? I've been nagging you for ages. But if you only listen to us in podcast form, guys, we implore you. Listen to us live on Radio Free Brooklyn, Saturday nights, 8 o'clock. Get there early. Listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around for a while afterwards. Listen to The Circuit. There's a lot of good things going on at Radio Free Brooklyn. You should be tuning in. Check it out for yourself, guys. Hey, you got a lot of money in your pocket. Josh is taking care of you. Tell them what they're going to do with it, Josh.
So what exactly has this delicacy done to earn the coveted title of the most expensive? Named Atomo by Atomo Chocolatier, this chocolate is composed of several rare ingredients that make it incredibly desirable. The 80-gram bar is 68% cocoa, but it isn't your average store-bought cocoa. Atomo sources their cocoa from a family-owned farm in Venezuela. The beans are a very limited harvest yearly, meaning several companies must compete to earn the right to their coveted cocoa. Atomo managed to get enough to make 50 exclusive bars. In addition to the cocoa, the bar is flavored with a dash of orange and has a crunchy biscuit in the center. One of its priciest ingredients is also one of the most surprising, saffron. Following the trend of sourcing ingredients from exclusive farms, the saffron in Atomo is from a small farm in southern Switzerland that is known for a rare variety of saffron. So, how much will all this cost you? Atomo, the most expensive chocolate in the world, is a whopping $646 for an 80-gram bar. The catchphrase for Atomo is "Taste the emotion," though the only emotion I'm feeling at the moment is shock.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, at least it's a great big bar.
80 grams?
Isn't 80 grams big?
I think it's like a regular sized chocolate bar.
Oh, is it? Never mind what I said then.
The second most expensive is an Ecuadorian chocolate.
Ooh.
An Ecuadorian bar.
By
Picari. Theirs is 400 some odd dollars, 450 or 460, but theirs is only 50 grams.
Okay.
So if they did an 80 gram bar, it would be very close to the same price.
All right. Yeah, Ecuadorian chocolate is good. It is good.
That's what you say.
Yeah. You've had some, haven't you?
I don't eat Ecuadorian chocolate.
I think we've given you Ecuadorian chocolate.
Yeah, I gave it to my dog.
And that's why Herschel's so sick. You guys, we have so much faith in our ideas. We know they're going to get you rich beyond your wildest dreams. How do you know you can trust us with your hard-earned money? How do you know you can spend your kids' college fund, remortgage your home, steal from your work? It's because Josh scours the internet for rules of getting rich quick, to which we judge our schemes by. Josh, where do our rules come from this week?
This week, how to hustle, the 10 habits of highly successful hustlers.
Okay.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
Join a group.
Join a group. Join Democrats. Vote for Biden.
There you go.
There you go.
We have time for one more?
Yeah, we got one more.
Rule number two, time travel.
Time travel. You guys go back and vote again. Or go back to 2016 and vote for Hillary more. Come on. Get this chump out of the office.
There you go, guys. So we're definitely getting rich off of elections and erections.
Yeah.
So once again, for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Land on the line, let the game begin. Everybody's gonna lose, and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby, and everything will be okay. Well, I had a buck when I went to the track. Had 20 grand when I came back. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby, and everything will be okay.